And welcome back to Church Ephesians 6:4. The article this week is titled, The Millstones and Pebbles of Repentance. Do you have them? Some argue that the book of Romans is the most important book in the Bible. Not most important in its message, but most comprehensive in doctrine, because it is here that much of the Christian life is explained. And we cannot even exit the first chapter without being challenged to think through weighty issues. Chapter 1 declares God's just punishment for everyone who ignores him. There are no exceptions because God has given us adequate evidence to prove that there is a God, and that God demands obedience. Chapter 2 goes on to address discrimination and how God treats us equally and fairly. We are warned to be careful not to place ourselves in judgment of other people's sinfulness because first, we do the same things, and second, judging others simply magnifies our own guilt. And then there is this in chapter 2 in verse 4, where Paul writes, Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? This is a very interesting statement because it seems to be in conflict with what the Bible teaches elsewhere. The Word of God teaches us that unbelievers have been blinded by the devil, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, the Bible says, And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In addition to the unbeliever's mind not being able to have a peek at the gospel, we also know they have no ability to understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. So how can a person experience the kindness that leads to repentance? Jesus gives us the answer in John 3:3 when he says to Nicodemus, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again is not something that a man can do. Jesus again, a few verses later, says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So this is a gift from God. It is at this point that the person who may have heard about Jesus and the gospel for many years now sees, hears, and understands the gospel for the first time. What was simply information he chose to ignore in the past now becomes the most important and shocking news he has ever received. I remember this time in my life 31 years ago. I was like a man who was sinning secretly in a dark room, believing I could keep all my thoughts and deeds hidden away from others. Then all of a sudden, it was as if a brilliant light had lit up the room, and my life was completely exposed to a God who I could not escape his gaze or his wrath. Seemingly in the same moment of terror, I also understood the gospel. This same God, who had the right and the obligation to destroy me for all the years of disobedience and wickedness, was offering me a way of peace. I don't think I grasped this offer in terms of the love of God, but I did recognize this offer as an unfathomable kindness. I was stunned by the fact that he allowed me to live for this moment. I was overwhelmed by the truth of Jesus' sacrifice and how great a punishment he received in my place. All of these kindnesses, and many more, flashed through my mind, and there was nothing else that I could do but repent. And what is repentance? It is a dramatic change of mind where a person goes from loving their sin and ignoring God to a person who hates their sins and beholds God as their Lord and Savior. Yes, the kindness of God in so many ways leads a person to repentance, and for every Christian, this moment is the greatest milestone or landmark in their lives. But the kindness of God does not stop there, and neither does repentance. It has been said that the Christian life is a life of repentance, and I can tell you from experience that it is true. There is not a day in my life that passes that I do not have to pull myself back from thinking or acting sinfully. My language slips, my thoughts drift to ungodly places, and my actions begin to form habits that I hate. And what am I called to do? Repent. But how? How can I fight this good fight for my good and the glory of God? And why does it take me so long to even realize that I need to turn away from these sins? This is why David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." Psalm 139:23. The answer is, just as the Spirit of God had to give me a new heart so I could see and understand the gospel, the Spirit now works in me to make me see what I am so slow to see. He kindly pricks my conscience and mind so I can be aware when I'm not walking worthy with God. He reminds me of the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, and I repent. While the moments of great repentance, such as the day of conversion and later times in life of great reflection, since those times are like great milestones, the multitude of repenting moments over the lifetime of a Christian are like small stones cemented together that form great walls of faith, holiness, and thankfulness. Together they prepare the Christian for every spiritual battle and eventually make him ready for heaven. How big a part is repentance in your daily life? Do you regularly consider the kindness of God to you? Much to think about. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you next time.